So all of the burnout talk recently, and still there, is talk to anybody who is stressed or burnt out. And if they're rolling their eyes at back-to-back meetings, then I would hand them a copy of my book and go, you're stuck in think mode.
Yes.
And you need to get into more async, not fully asynchronous work. That is my work at my time and my choosing.
Welcome to the Manage Self, Lead Others Leadership Podcast with Nina Sunday for experienced and aspiring people managers. This show will help you explore ways to become a more intentional leader. Each episode, host Nina Sunday speaks with some of the brightest business minds on the planet who share a passion to elevate and transform team culture. Workplace culture hides in plain sight. Is yours flourishing? Join the movement to make your workplace a better place to work. Are you ready? Because it's time to manage self, lead others.
Lynn Cazaly is an expert in new ways of working. An international keynote speaker and an award-winning author, her ideas and thoughts are published in her 10 books. A CSP, Certified Speaking Professional, Lynn's ideas are published in Harvard Business Review, Forbes.com.au, and many other media and business publications. Her in-person and online sessions are well known for being interactive, informative, and inspiring. Welcome, Lynn Cazaly.
Lovely to be invited back. Thank you.
And of course, we won't just talk about your latest book, Sync Async, but tell us about yourself and what you do and what your focus is.
Well, my focus these days is on how little can I do to make a big impact. I think I'm fed up with that overworking, overwhelm, overachievement, and really looking for the things that will, bring me the most enjoyment in life. I love speaking, I love communicating, and I love helping people think in more creative ways about what they're doing. So that could be how they're working, how they think about work, how they think about their leadership, and then try and bring some more creativity into that. Not art canvases and paintbrushes, but some more ingenious and creative thinking into how we do things.
And if people go to your website, they'll see lots of showreels where you present at large conferences, and it's mighty impressive.
Oh, lovely. Thank you.
So your book, Sync Async, it's divided into three parts, which is how did we get to where we are and where do we go from here, and the skills, tools and techniques. So, but just in a nutshell, what is working in an asynchronous way, and have I described it correctly?
Well, asynchronous is, it's hello right now to all the people who are listening to this recording, because Nina and I recorded it in real time at the same time. We are both here, and that is synchronous work. But anybody listening to it, you're choosing to do it in the way and at the time that is most suitable for you. So you might be driving in the car or walking the dog or doing some housework or chores. And so that is asynchronous work. It's of your choosing and at the time and the way that works for you. And this asynchronous communication's been around for a while. I mean, we write letters, the person, we don't sit in, in Jane Austen films, they didn't sit in front of each other and read the letter out. One person would write a letter, send it, it's the ultimate in asynchronous communication. Yes. But I think, unfortunately, our work world has become overly controlling, that we require, 23 people in the one meeting that goes for 2 hours and is absolutely boring and takes up so much time. That's really requiring people to be in sync, doing more synchronous work. And it's so unproductive. It's so unsatisfying. It's so wasteful.
And I've seen this myself, but when I've been working with teams, they'll say, we can't find a time for everybody to get together for the meeting. I say,
yes.
Why don't you just have the meeting with a quorum and film it, and then people can watch it in their own time. It doesn't even have to be a hybrid meeting in real time.
No.
Just record the meeting. People watch it in their own time and they can send their comments later. But
that's right.
I've found resistance to that. Have you found that in the corporate world?
Well, it depends how we approach it, because if we're asking people to do something like that, if we're trying to change a culture in an organization, of course we're going to get resistance, because a lot of people, and I found early resistance when my book came out, some early resistance around, oh, but no, I love meetings. No, I love going to meetings, and meetings are an important part of doing work. So we have people who like the theatre and the drama and the socialness and the connectedness and the busy feeling of I'm busy, I'm at meetings, this is how I work, versus many, many, many other people who prefer time that's uninterrupted, where they're able to get clear thinking done. Cal Newport talks about it in his book, Deep Work, that where are the opportunities for us to do that? So the culture isn't changing fast enough around meetings. However, individuals can work in more asynchronous ways, and that's what this book's about.
And when I led a workshop on leading effective meetings, one of the things that came out was the problem with the agenda. Either there is no agenda, or the agenda arrives at the meeting, it's not before the meeting, or it doesn't really give an idea of who has to be attending which discussion. It's like everybody has to be there the whole time. It's like that all sounds so unproductive. Is that sort of part of this synchronous meeting problem?
Yes. It's this requirement. Oh, we don't know when we're going to need you to present this pack of information, so you're going to need to be there the whole time. So I go through some of the techniques that individuals can use, and one of them is that, yes, it's a cliche word, to push back, but it is to put a bit of resistance on the meeting convener. So when you're invited to a meeting, have a look and ask, where's the agenda? What time is what happening? When do you need me there, and what do you need me for? So I've got some scripts in the book about what to say and how to say that.
Oh, that's mightily helpful. That's a reason to get the book straight up.
I think
we'll have a link in the show notes.
We go into compliance around, oh, someone in authority has sent this meeting out. I don't know what it's about. I better go. It's a little bit like being called up to the principal's office at school. And I think it evokes that in us, or invokes that in us, that we think, oh, I better go along because, you know, the mystery, and this is back around the power and control of the meeting leader is going to hold court at this meeting that's got no agenda. We don't know what the purpose is. We don't know who's going to need to do what when. So I think individuals can just gently push back and ask for that agenda, or ask for specifics of when am I needed and what do you need me to do in this meeting. And my hope is that over time, as an individual does this and requests more opportunities to contribute asynchronously, that is either before or after the meeting, that will shift meeting culture, because you'll end up with someone having a meeting of one. No one will go to useless meetings instead of us trying to change meeting culture, which isn't happening fast enough.
Well, okay, so there's meetings. What are some other ways of working asynchronously? Is that the right word?
Yes. So meetings are synchronous.
Right.
That is, we're all here at the same time. Yeah. But asynchronous, we know that from email. Email is absolutely asynchronous, that we do it, we send it at a time that's convenient, and we read it at a time that's convenient.
And SMS messages too.
Exactly. Mm. The big one that's really exploded over the last, say, half a dozen years or so is task boards. So project management task boards like Trello and Monday and Asana and these sorts of shared work visual management tools they are, which I love working with these and bringing them to teams so that they are able to see what work needs to be done, and that we don't have to meet about everything, because I can go into the task board, see what needs to be done, see who's been allocated, and we can put notes and comments or questions on and in that app around the work. So this is where teams can often have that kind of daily huddle where the leader says, what are you working on today? And is there anything getting in the way of that? And that's the idea of having a very short stand-up meeting. And then the leader helps remove those impediments and people are able to go away after a few minutes and go and get on with their work.
Exactly. I can't believe the organisations that talk, well, the people that complain, oh, I just have back-to-back meetings. I'm going, How do you get to action what your to-do item came out of one meeting when you're going straight into another, and it's the interruption effect as well?
Yes.
You need time to execute what you have to do and also time to think and plan and strategize.
That's right. With that back-to-back, you know, we get really compressed with our ability to think and think clearly. And so all of the burnout talk recently and still there is you talk to anybody who is stressed or burnt out, and if they're rolling their eyes at back-to-back meetings, then I would hand them a copy of my book and go, you're stuck in think mode.
Yes.
And you need to get into more async, not fully asynchronous work, that is my work at my time and my choosing, but we don't want people to be in full synchronous work. That is, my day is back-to-back meetings. That just says to me, not only is the culture, you know, does the culture of the organisation have some opportunities for change, but it's individuals are giving up their agency and giving up their authority by giving in to the meeting invite. And a group of leaders...
Just kind of accepting with resignation,
yes,
this is the way it is,
instead, yes,
of just speaking up and saying, do I really have to be there the whole time?
Yes. Yes.
Would an email do instead?
Yes, yes. And so they're two closed questions you've got there. Do I need to be there, and would? So I'm suggesting more open questions where you ask, you know, what do you need me there for and when?
That's good.
Pickup. It's much more, this is from my facilitation work, is how do you elicit information out of people without, you know, creating a potentially defensive response?
Oh, true. That's right.
Yeah.
You've got to be careful of closed questions because sometimes people resist or think that there's a bit of judgment there. I'm also thinking that synchronous work could be attached to, do I have to do it at my desk at my computer? Could I not go out into the atrium or the, you know, the table that's out in the green space? I really recommend people just get themselves away from their computer, get pen and paper sometimes when they're brainstorming and thinking, and don't brainstorm at the on your laptop or at the keyboard. Pen and paper is great for generating ideas.
Absolutely. It's getting into the environment that suits the work to be done. So if you do need to be in a more creative space or you do need to generate creative ideas, then sitting at a blank, you know, PowerPoint document is not going to do that.
Exactly. And so how else do you sort of recommend that people find ways to work in an asynchronous manner?
Well, I did some blog posts during the year and I said blatantly, decline 1 in 3 meetings.
May I take just a minute to tell you about one of our partners that helps make Manage Self Lead Others happen, Apex Trader Funding, showing futures traders how to execute entries and exits with precision. Apex Trader Funding educates people in what is a futures contract, how to make money and hopefully avoid losing money with a futures contract, how does a trade happen, different markets to trade, how to make the decision to trade. And I must mention this disclaimer, you have to put in the learning time to really know what you're doing, to manage risk and manage profit, to know when to withdraw your profits and invest them elsewhere. How to start? Go to the FAQ tab at apextraderfunding.com. That's https://apextraderfunding.com. Follow the links to do the masterclasses with Apex Investing Institute. Now, here's a promo code. When you are ready to apply to get started with funded trading with apextraderfunding.com, use my code NinaSunday for the listener discount of 25 to 50% off. I invite you to go to episode 106 of Manage Self Lead Others podcast to find out more with my conversation with Daryl Martin of apextraderfunding.com.
So people were saying, how do I start this? But, you know, our organisation wouldn't like this, and tiptoe, tiptoe. So I said, as a guide, decline every, you know, every third meeting invite you get, and start to clear up some of the space in your life and in your schedule so that you can do the work that you're, you know, contracted or employed or decide to do.
So it's triggering in my head one of my barometers, if you like. If I say yes to an invitation, even a social one, if I feel like I'm about to say yes because I feel I should, not because I want to, that's a sure sign you should say no.
Yeah, that's right. And find out more information.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is a terrific facilitation technique, which is to clarify. So before you make a decision either way, all you're doing by responding to an invitation is trying to find out more information. That's like, when do you need me in the meeting and for how long? It's a little like, oh, okay, so this group's going to meet at this restaurant. Well, how far is that from the station? Or how are we having drinks first? Or, you know, or is there a large group of us? Or are we going somewhere else afterwards? So it's clarifying, just getting a bit more information so you can be more perhaps discerning, a little bit more informed about decisions, rather than saying, well, I didn't know. No, I didn't know. Or they didn't tell me, is absolving your responsibility.
Me, so it's all their fault.
That's right. It's very easy to go, it's their fault. But, you know, your time and your energy, particularly during the week, is valuable. And that break out into a sweat when you hear people say, I've had back-to-back meetings. Well, where were their gaps? And maybe even if you look back retrospectively, it can be tough to look forward into our diary, but if you look back and have a look at what were the meetings that were the complete and utter waste of time, and I wonder how many hours could I have got back out of that week by being more discerning and asking the questions about what exactly do you need me at this meeting for? And one of the best asynchronous tools, of course, is the transcription and the use of AI in meetings.
Yes.
So I'm working with a team at the moment, and we're just skilling up around what I'd say some simple techniques, which is searching the transcript to see if their project, their name, or their area has been mentioned. And then they're able to zoom in on that and have a read of that section, so that instead of sitting there saying, oh, I've got to read through all these meeting transcripts,
yes,
is to say, or to pop that into ChatGPT and say, review this meeting transcript. Does it refer to any of these things? Or, you know, write me a 150-word summary of this meeting and what were the 12 actions that came out of it. So these sorts of things that can mean you don't have to be at the meeting. And for me, this crosses over into another area which I speak on at conferences, which is cognitive load, right? So
the
overwhelm. And to say, yeah, I'll read the meeting transcript later. No, we don't need to do that. We don't need to do that. And
Control F is really good, which is find, and you put in a keyword and just search for that keyword.
Yes, Nina. Yes. And so we love watching, you know, we can watch videos at 1.5 or 2 times the speed, or we can listen to audiobooks. We can take in all this rapid information. And I feel uncomfortable when people are in meetings and they're multitasking. And I think, get out of the meeting, go do your work.
That's right.
And then listen to the audio on 1.5 times, or scan the transcript later, or designate another member of the team to rotate through the meeting so you can hear what happened, or get a report or check in from your team member. Mm. So there's plenty of tools that we can use to be more discerning about where we invest our time during the week in synchronous activities, and don't just go along with them. Don't just get sucked into the synchronous vortex, or you'll come out a lesser person than when you went in.
And I've got a wonderful transcript tool that I use when I'm so I can edit my podcast. So I'll put a link to that in my show notes as well. But using transcripts are fabulous. And I have a little secret. You know, if I'm at a meeting and Zoom meeting and the host is recording it, but I may or may not get a transcript or a record, I just use voice memos on my phone.
Yes.
And
yes.
Just a little section. If I go, I really need to remember this. I mean, you don't, at the meeting, you don't really need permission. Yeah. So I just do little snippets. And look, sometimes I don't even go back, but if I do need to, it's there.
It's there.
And because then I can focus on what's being said, not scrambling to write lots of notes.
Yeah. I think there's been, you know, this much greater push for being in the moment and being present. Yes. And yet here we are splitting our attention at a meeting, but I'm also checking emails and I'm you know, looking at the feed of my dog at home, you know, is it out in the yard or is it inside? And so we're taking all this information in, and no wonder we feel like that fried brain zombie feeling at the end of the day, because we're trying to be in what I was talking with a friend about, not just by location. We're not trying to just be in two places at once. Try location. We're trying to be in three or four places at once and do multiple things at once. Whereas I'm saying just cancel, get out of the meeting, get out of one in three meetings during the week. You'll get a heap of time. You've now got to do that more focused creative work and take some time for yourself to do things that are much more meaningful for you, that create better memories for you than struggling at work.
And Lynn, I've noticed that sometimes I've been working on something, a document with lots of words usually, and I start to get very drowsy. And I thought it was just either the heat or I was just getting drowsy. I realise now that's a symptom of cognitive load.
It sure is.
I just need to take a break.
You do. Stand up, move around and empty the trash. So one of the examples I use is near me there's a little landscaping company and they have a small truck. And they come in, the truck comes in, they load it up with pebbles and plants and rocks and off they go and they deliver it somewhere and then they come back and the truck's empty and they load it up again with the next batch of things and off they go and deliver it to the next job. They don't have a huge truck that takes all day. They're a small business and I feel like this is who we are. We are not a big multi-billion dollar company that has 45 vehicles on the road. We're a truck of space. Seth Godin talked about this, that you can't get anywhere or you can't carry more stuff by overfilling yourself. And so the idea of load up and unload, so load up and then unload, so go to the meeting and then have a short break, go to the meeting, have a short break, work on things with a timer or with some pressure and then release that pressure and go outside.
And stand up, walk around, get the blood pumping, and in fact walk around the block meetings in good weather is good too.
That's right. Now this is good multitasking, right? So we're saying anything that involves listening to a podcast and walking or walking meetings, you know, you can't do meditating and driving, for example. They're not the best.
No.
although driving is quite a meditative activity. But it's really this word discernment I love is deciding which things in my life are worth multitasking because my performance on both of them is going to drop significantly and which of the things do require my fresh mind or a clear mind where my cognitive load has gone. You know, I'd hate to be going to a performance meeting where my manager's just come out of back-to-back meetings and is overloaded and doesn't really want to be there. That's not in-the-moment kind of thing. Mm.
And so I know that you've been writing regularly. Is there another book on the horizon that you can
tell us about? Oh, yes, almost. Imminent announcement. It's about some of the skills that humans have and how they augment with artificial intelligence. So it's not about artificial intelligence, but it's the skills that you've got that I think we can magnify and emphasize. So that will be announced. And so people asynchronously listening to this will be able to track it down.
And just going back, in 2021, we were talking about Ish, which was about the problem with perfectionism. Mm. So that was, I think, episode 31, but I'll put that a link in the show notes. Mm. And then we ended by talking about your next book, which was R, and we joked about it being Talk Like a Pirate. But really, that was about overload, you know, that I'm overloaded. So. Yes. And then there's another book that came out after that. I'm sorry I missed these.
I think, there was one called Better Ways of Working, which was a collection of all of the visuals and posts that I did in, I think, 2020. So it was in the early.
I saw all of those on your website. Everybody go to lynncazaly.com, LynnCazaly or Zaly, depending on where you're listening from. And tell us how people can work with you, Lynn.
Well, they can work with me. I can help them with their cognitive overload. So one of the key ways I work is opening conferences. So before you get that deluge of information from all the presentations, I come and do between 20 and 45 minute session with some great tips and methods for managing cognitive overload in that high pressure learning environment. And then I'm also working on conferences and offsites and events as the closing speaker. So that's called the co-creation experience, where we be creative together and summarize and synthesize everything that's happened at the event.
And so because you're based in Australia, is that mostly Australia, Pacific Asia, or have you?
Yes, and so some in the US and some in Europe. So
and some speakers have actually set themselves up to be able to deliver to a conference virtually.
Mm.
You've done that too?
Absolutely, definitely. Yeah. Over the last 3 or 4 years, many a night here with floodlights and
that's right, because
awake at 2 a.m. all made up, you know, presenting to a manufacturing goods conference of 1,500 of their team online and lots of speaking. Yeah.
Well, Lynn, it's always a pleasure speaking with you, and you're obviously very, very big picture oriented in that you can actually see the overarching principle behind how people are working, and I'm really in awe of that. I mean, just this whole idea of naming something that people were doing a little bit of anyway, but by naming it, nomenclature, it's called, by naming something, you can consciously be more intentional with it.
Mm.
And I think your book is very helpful in that area. So I urge people to get it on Audible. And I do a lot of audiobook listening these days. I can get more books in. Even though I'm a speed reader, if it's a book, I've still got to find time to just stop everything else.
Whereas that's right. Normal,
commuting, it's really easy. Yeah.
Great multitasking, Nina.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
And people can contact you on LinkedIn as well. We'll have all those links in the show notes. So thank you very much today, Lynn.
Thanks, Nina.
We've been speaking with Lynn Cazaly on the Manage Self Lead Others podcast for experienced and aspiring people managers. I'm your host, Nina Sunday. Thanks for listening. All the contact details are in the show notes, and remember to subscribe and feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. Catch you next time.
Nina Sunday is on a mission to help leaders transform culture. To book Nina Sunday CSP to speak at your conference, visit ninasunday.com to request a proposal. Nina travels from Brisbane, Australia for in-person presentations Australia-wide. Twice certified virtual presenter, Nina Sunday presents virtually, globally, for any time zone.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.